I also realize I've been cheating myself in every spin class I've ever gone to because I've never worked out as hard ever, let alone at home on a bike, as I have when I'm on my Peloton versus when I'm in a spin class. There are more and more emerging technologies that are bringing fitness into our homes. There's a device called the Mirror where it actually, you can build out a whole program, but it's about weightlifting and you follow the instructions and it's super slick and it sits on your wall. I think we're going to have a ton of really cool options emerging in 2020 for us to have very robust and accountability-based fitness programs in our own house. And I, for one, am super excited about it.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Okay, so welcome to 2020. And the second episode in our three-part series where we are focusing on body, business, and inner badass. Today's episode, what I'm going to tackle for you, is something we did last year with a great deal of success and fun. And I'm going to break down for you what I predict are going to be the top 10 health trends in 2020. Some of these things are things you have definitely heard about before, and some of them are going to be entirely new. But here is an overview of where I think the market is going to go, where I think us as individual wellness consumers are going to be hearing more and more. And frankly, it's where I think many of us need to step when we start to look at our health and look at our capacity for health optimization in a whole new lens. So I'm going to say this is actually in no particular order because I think that these are all trends that we're going to start to see and they're going to start to shift the marketplace. And I don't yet have a prediction as to which one is going to be at the top. I know which on this list is actually currently producing the most revenue, but I don't actually believe that it is the most impactful. So in no particular order, number one on my top 10 list of health or wellness trends for 2020 is mindfulness and meditation. Now, before you're like, thanks, Megan, don't stop the presses over this one. Here's what I think we're going to start to see. I've talked about this before. I believe both of these terms have a lot of baggage. We say meditation and people are like, yeah, yeah, I got it. I'm out. If this is what your top 10 list is going to be about, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it through the top 10. Here's what I actually think is going to start to happen in a microcurrent kind of way with respect to mindfulness and meditation is I actually think we are going to see an emergence of technologies. I think we are going to see new apps and I think we're going to start to see new methodologies with respect to how we can start to adapt these two ideas into our life. You know, one of my main areas of focus for 2020 on a personal level is actually going to be to develop and create greater consistency around my own personal meditation practice. And what I have been finding personally as we move towards the end of 2019 and as I mount on more pressure in my business and personal life is that I find that in particular when it comes to managing my kids, I don't have the patience that I want to have. I am not being the parent I want to be and I'm getting stressed and I'm being reactive with them really quickly. And part of it is the more I exercise, the better things are. And part of it is if I get a really great sleep, we're good to go. But the reality is I have a lot of stress and I don't always get to exercise the way that I want to. And my kids climb into my bed, at least one of them somewhere from some angle every single night. And so the ideal isn't necessarily going to happen. You know, I'm a huge believer in this idea of radical responsibility. And so I've really decided that part of the tactics and part of the commitment that I need to be able to follow through on in terms of showing up as the parent that I want to show up and showing up with the clarity that I want to have in all of my relationships is really spending time to start to develop my own meditation practice. And one of the methodologies I'm going to follow, and I'm super excited because I'm going to work hard to get Emily Fletcher on the podcast this year. I'm saying it out loud. I haven't even asked her yet. I'm just putting it out there. Is I'm actually going to follow the Ziva meditation methodology. And Emily's written a really incredible book called Stress Less, Do More. And she has created a meditation practice for high performers. And some of the people I respect most in my industry have taken it upon themselves to follow Emily's methodology, and they have all shared that it has been life-changing. So I am publicly declaring and sharing with all of you, not only do I think innovative approaches to meditation are going to be on the table, but I am committing to my own personal practice in this direction this year, and I'm going to share with you how that adventure goes. Number two on my top 10 health trends in 2020 are all things sleep. So yes, we know sleep is good for you. We are no longer in 1994 where we're like, how do we hack sleep? People only need 4 hours of sleep. We know people need sleep. We know that you need deep sleep. We know that you need REM sleep. Sleep is a topic that I really want to unpack in a very big way on the podcast in 2020. But our technologies around sleep, I believe, are also going to be emerging. So we're going to talk a little bit in this list of emerging tech when it comes to health. But you've heard me talk before about my Oura Ring. Oura Ring is a technology that originally they positioned on the market to help with training and recovery. And now they're like, flat out, it's a sleep device. How well are you sleeping? And how do you respond to that? I think when it comes to conversations around anti-aging, when it comes to conversations around mindfulness and high performance and recovery, sleep is going to be at the top of all of those lists. And so for those of you who are poor sleepers, listen up, because we're going to be talking a lot about this in 2020. I think there's going to be more and more solutions for you coming down the pipeline. But I also think we're going to be talking even more about the role that sleep has in a variety of disease processes and why it is just so critical to the quality of your life. So hang tight, because we're going to be talking a lot more about sleep. I think there are going to be more and more technologies to help you get to sleep. And I think this is going to be a massive industry focus over the course of the next year. Gone are the days where you get a sleep study done and everyone is diagnosed with sleep apnea because it was the only diagnosis we had in that traditional realm. And we treated everyone the same way. We stuck a sleep mask on them and hope for the best. I think this is a real area of medical disruption that we're going to see more of this year. And for those of you who suck at sleeping, I'm really excited about what this is going to mean for you. Trend number three in wellness and health, community. So one of the things that has become very clear in previous research, but in new research that has emerged over the last few years, is the idea that community and people's interaction with community is highly predictive, not only of their mental health outcomes, but their health outcomes in general. There are these zones around the world called blue zones, and blue zones are areas where people tend to live much, much longer than the average world population. And even when we correct for socioeconomic differences, which is part of it, but when we correct for that, we also find that there are certain habits and certain things that we see in these blue zones. And one of the critical things that we see in these areas is, one, people have a sense of purpose with a higher degree than other areas. I just threw that in there. It has nothing to do with community. You guys know I just like talking about purpose. Second thing is, there's a variety of different mechanisms in which community is highly valued in that society. So I think what we're going to start to see in 2020 is the emergence of community-based groups actually as a vehicle of healthcare delivery, but also as a way of mitigating significant numbers of mental health issues, anxiety, depression. And what's so interesting, when we start to build community with people, we're starting to see residual markers start to change for people. So we're seeing markers change with respect to cardiovascular health. We are definitely seeing markers change with respect to the endocrine or hormonal side of stress. So we're able to mitigate higher levels of cortisol and cortisol dysregulation, which then has influences over estrogen and progesterone, all through the creation of community. So I think we're going to start to see this in a variety of different ways. We've got some exciting stuff in the pipelines as it pertains to community. But you know, I know in speaking to my own patients, when we really get down to it and we say, you know, what's the source of this anxiety, or why have you gone back on antidepressants, or why are things not working out the way that they want? It's incredible to me the frequency in which the response ultimately are, I don't have a community that supports me either in this way of life, in this way of thinking, or how I want to execute and how I want to live my life. It's easy to find friends on the playground when you are 5 years old. It is much harder as you move into midlife to find a cohort of individuals who share your values, who share your vision, and who really want to engage the way I think we are all preconditioned to want to engage with other humans. So watch for it. Community is going to be massive in 2020. All right. Health and wellness trend number four is one that I have already picked up on, and that is in-home group fitness. Now, let me break this down for you because no, I do not have an aerobics class in my basement. What I do have is I have a new Peloton. And we're going to talk about Pelotons. We're going to talk about this on Instagram because I know people have a lot to say about it. But I'm going to be really honest. For those of you who are like, what is she talking about? My Peloton is a new spin bike that I have at home. I've been eyeing this for a while. I get on the bike, I clip in, and then I log in, and I can choose to either be part of a live class where I literally see thousands of other people from around the world who are simultaneously on their Peloton. I can choose, if I'm in the mindset for it, to be like, huh, how do I rank compared to those people in terms of the output that I am putting into the bike? I can also turn that piece off. But what I love most of all is the accountability piece. So you can engage in challenges. I've engaged in a variety of challenges. I want to get back on my bike. They've really gamified fitness. And the beautiful part about it is that I don't have to leave my home. So I've talked about this before, this idea that willpower is actually something that we have a finite amount of on any given day. And I said to my husband about a month ago, I feel like I use all of my daily willpower getting up at 6:30 in the morning to be at a class for 7 in the cold and the dark of winter. And I mentioned earlier, one of my commitments for this year is to really focus on developing my own meditation practice. And I felt like once I started to leave the house and I got out there and it was super cold, I was like, when am I going to fit in this other key component that I want to commit to in 2020? And so I made the decision to purchase a Peloton and bring it into our house. And I love it. I love everything about it. I love that I can have a 15-minute workout at home and work out harder than I ever have in the gym. I also realize I've been cheating myself in every spin class I've ever gone to because I've never worked out as hard ever, let alone at home on a bike, as I have when I'm on my Peloton versus when I'm in a spin class. There are more and more emerging technologies that are bringing fitness into our homes. There's a device called the Mirror where it actually, you can build out a whole program, but it's about weightlifting and you follow the instructions and it's super slick and it sits on your wall. I think we're going to have a ton of really cool options emerging in 2020 for us to have very robust and accountability-based fitness programs in our own house. And I, for one, am super excited about it. Health and wellness trend number five. We have talked about this for a long time, and that is this idea of individualized medicine. In fact, every naturopathic doctor I know will tell you that they practice individualized medicine. But here's where I think we are going to take it to a whole new level in 2020. And here are two terms that I want you to be familiar with because it is something you need to know. The first is nutrigenomics. And the second is epigenetics. Now, before you get scared that early into this new year, I'm going to go really deep down a rabbit hole of science. I am not. But what I want to tell you is what each of these two areas are the actual science behind this notion of individualized medicine. Nutrigenomics is where we actually take all of your genetic information. So whether you've done that through something like 23andMe, or you've done it through another company, and we're going to start to talk about those things early in 2020. It's where we take that raw data. What makes you you genetically? And which genes do we have the opportunity to augment, influence, turn on and off? How can we do that through a food and lifestyle program that is individualized to you? This is the idea of performance medicine at a whole new level. Nutrigenomics is where we pair nutrients, so coming from food or strategic supplementation, to your genetics. That's where the genomics term comes in. And what we're doing when we take this nutrigenomics and we start to give you individualized meal plans is that we are influencing your DNA in an area called epigenetics. And epigenetics is where we can take our local environment and we can influence the manifestation of various genes. This is happening already, whether you want it to or not. When genes get turned on or off that create disease at midlife, when you have a genetic predisposition to diabetes or to cancer or to mental health challenges or anywhere else where we tend to see a genetic influence, when those things start to get turned on in midlife, that is because there has been an epigenetic influence because of your lifestyle. And the idea of individualized medicine and proactive medicine and upstream medicine, when we have access to your genetic material, means that we can actually start to influence in a positive way those genes that are being influenced inadvertently already. So I know a lot of people have said to me in the past, oh, I'm scared to do genetic testing because I don't want to know all the bad things that are coming my way. What we know about most of these genetic conditions, with the exception of very few, is that they are actually influenced by our environment. And the sooner we know about them, the sooner we can just turn them off. There's a considerable amount of research and energy going into this particular area. This is not about fortune telling based on your genetics. This is about being ultimately responsible, ultimately proactive with respect to your health. And I think you're going to be hearing a ton more about it. Health and wellness trend number 6, and that is technology. Now, it is like old school news that there's these things called Apple Watches, but what's going to be cool and what I think we're going to see more of as we move into this year and into this next decade is really the level of data that's going to be available to us on our wrist. Now, for those of you who've had the chance to work with me one-on-one or who are part of our clinic community, you know that we actually place a high degree of value on the acquisition of health data. And I do that because what I have seen in terms of outcomes is that people are much more compliant when they're actually moving a very real number. We're not going through a subjective version of like, well, how are you feeling? We really are starting to change and move the needle. So I think we are going to see more and more technologies emerge. I think the robust nature of data that we have access to is going to change. And the jury is out in my mind as to the value of those pieces. So I certainly think that having sleep data, looking at heart rate variability, which really helps us to understand where our nervous system is at, I think these things are going to be really helpful. I think looking at how we breathe and our breath rates, helpful. I think technologies like the Muse that we can put on and see whether or not we're actually in these meditative states, awesome. I love all of these technologies. I love all of this feedback. I don't yet have a list of things that I am concerned about people knowing, but I am open to the idea that this is not all going to be good. But what is definitely going to happen is you're going to have access to more of it. Where it's going to become critical is what you do with that data, how you interpret it, who you work with, and what it does to inform a healthy plan for you moving forward. So it's all the rage and super cool to be wearing all of these devices, but it's what you do with it that's actually going to matter. And as we have more and more available to us, these are going to be decisions that we have to look at with greater frequency. All right. Health and wellness trend number 7. We're closing in on the end, guys. Number 7 is maybe something you guys haven't heard before. I started to hear about it a few years ago and I was like, oh, that's cool. I don't know where that's going. But now I'm like, it's going to go places. And that is light therapy. So we are understanding more and more about all the different ways that our body picks up information around us. And one of the areas of emerging research is really starting to understand how we're picking up information and how our body's interpreting information that doesn't necessarily enter our current state of consciousness. Light is one of them. So we certainly know when we go multiple days in a row without sunshine, it starts to affect our mood. We know if we're able to lie on a beach and have some direct skin access from those UVA and UVB rays, that that has an influence on mood. We know it produces more vitamin D. Like, we know stuff happens. Like, that is sort of elementary to us. But what we are starting to understand with greater frequency is the influence of things like blue light. So the type of light that emerges from our computers and screens. Some people think it's massively detrimental. Others feel that maybe we have overstretched on what that influence is. But we do know it has an influence. The other spectrum of light that we know absolutely influences our health, the health of our cells on really a molecular level is actually spectrums of red light. And we did an episode earlier this year with the founder of Juve, where we talked about the influence of red light on the body. And one of the really neat things about red light, and if you're picturing red light, I'm not talking about that red bathroom light that we all had when we were kids that our parents had in their bathroom. I'm talking about like being in front of a full sort of wall of red lights and exposing your body to a spectrum of red lights. What we see when we do that is actually an increase in mitochondria within the cells. And the mitochondria are what actually produce energy inside the cells. And so there's a number of companies that are really going, whoa, there's something to this. Let's actually start to give people access to home red light therapy units. Juve is one of them, but there are several others in Canada and the US. And we give people the opportunity to, one, not only have this therapy and treatment in their house, but do it on a fairly regular basis. And for those people who have committed to doing that, we're actually seeing reduction in pain and inflammation and a variety of other biomarkers, but also this increase in mitochondrial health. So as we struggle to just, you know, diversify our diet and we kind of get tired of like endless meal plans and philosophies and doctrines around eating, one of the things I think we're going to start to see more of in 2020 is how we start to influence the body in other ways, other than food, other than supplements, other thing than things that we are taking orally. And I think one of the trends that's going to be at the forefront of that is actually light therapy. Watch for it. It's super cool. All right. Trend number 9. I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. I feel like you guys would be like, she is totally out of touch because she didn't even talk about this. And that is the $25 billion industry that is CBD. I was walking in a bookstore last night in the cooking section. And I came across a cookbook called Cooking with CBD. And I was like, honestly, have we actually honestly come to this? So, well, I believe that there are a tremendous amount of health benefits that can come through through CBD and activating the endocannabinoid pathways. I also don't think that this is the most spectacular herb ever known to man. I think that in our arsenal, certainly when I learned about it, and for those of you who've been studying botanical medicine, I think many of you will know there are countless other herbs and botanicals that can have life-changing effects as well. So I think that CBD is incredible. I think we are going to see a lot of emerging benefit, even more so than we are seeing right now, as a result of really normalizing access. What I am hoping happens over the course of this decade is that in the same way that we have seen marijuana shift the landscape in terms of what is capable when we start to have access to plant medicine, my hope over the next decade is that one of the trends that we see is that there are a variety of other plants and botanicals that are honored and explored and moved into the mainstream the exact same way. You know, one of the main things that people are saying about CBD and why it's so beneficial and so popular is that there are fewer side effects than we see on the traditional pharmaceutical side, and I totally agree. At the same time, we have a variety of other things that we can have brought to the market that, with the same onus of an effort around research and research pressures, I think we would find would be equally beneficial. And that's a big statement to say equally beneficial to CBD, but as powerful an influence over us collectively as we are seeing with CBD. But either way, no matter what, no matter how you cut it, CBD is a massive trend in 2020, and cooking with it, eating it, suppositorying it, smoking it, putting some kind of CBD into your life somewhere, there are going to be endless versions of this. And I'm actually deeply curious to see what they come up with next. And finally, our last trend in health and wellness trends for 2020 is something, now that I've got to 10, I was like, oh, this is going to be so anticlimactic for people. But it is so darn cool. And it's something I've been talking about as a naturopathic doctor for a really long time. And that is, wait for it, lymphatic health. Now, before you're like, seriously, I stuck around till 10 to hear lymphatic health? Let me tell you what this is. So adjacent to all the vessels in our body, we have these we have these, let's just call them pipes. We've got this whole other system of tubes and machinery where we have lymphatic fluid moving. And lymphatic fluid is kind of like the leftover immune fluid. It's full of immune cells. It's also full of like just kind of garbage and waste that our body produces around our entire system that doesn't get carried in the bloodstream. And all of these lymphatic vessels that move around our body, they're actually dependent on movement and contraction of adjacent muscles to move things through that pipeline. That's one of the reasons why when people stop being active, we get swelling in our legs. That chronic swelling is all stuff sort of trapped in that lymphatic system. So the reason why I think that this is going to play such an emerging role, and we're going to hear more about it in the next year, is what we are realizing about the lymphatic system in general is that it has a really critical role to play in our overall health, and that it can become a repository for a variety of things that negatively influence our overall physiology. Not the least of which is it can serve as a repository for hormones and trapped hormones. It has a huge influence on our skin health, on our immune system health. And while there have been treatments to move lymphatic flow for a long period of time, what I'm starting to see in the marketplace is an entire category of wellness offerings that are designed almost exclusively to support our lymphatic system. So those little jade rollers that everybody sees that like reduce inflammation on your face, yeah, what it's partly doing is it's actually pushing fluid through our lymphatic system. For women who have experienced breast cancer and have had lymph nodes removed, there is always been individuals who provide treatment to them to help facilitate and move lymphatic fluid through their arms so that we don't end up with pooling for those particular women, and just to make things more comfortable for them. But I'm starting to see at spas and clinics everywhere that you can actually have lymphatic drainage massage, that everyone can start to have access to these massages. For people who have fluid accumulation in their legs and extremities, this is a really awesome choice. Certainly for people who have had lymph nodes removed as a result of cancer treatment, this is a really awesome choice. For people who have chronic skin issues, so chronic skin issues around their back and around their necks, this is a really awesome choice. And what I've also found personally in my own practice is individuals who've had chronically low progesterone. So progesterone is a hormone that's more dominant in the second half of your menstrual cycle. I've actually seen when we consistently start to move the lymphatic system that we actually see an increase in overall progesterone. And that is not a treatment recommendation on my side. It is a clinical observation that we've started to see. But I think as we start to have more knowledge, access and treatment around lymphatic health in the marketplace, we're going to see more and more evidence and conversation around the influence that it has on our health. So I want you to watch for it. Lymphatic health. I actually think it's going to be one of the trends that we see in 2020. So there you have it, guys. That is my top 10 list of the health and wellness trends that I think are going to be emerging parts of the conversation over the next year. I said two of the areas where I have made a personal commitment to in 2020 is to really explore and unpack my own mindfulness practice, but also the commitment to my Peloton and working out at home. It's always been a challenge for me to work out at home and have a really great workout. And so far, so good on this cool new technology that I have brought into my house. So I want to hear from you guys. I'd love for you to head on over to the Anthropology Collective. I want to know what you guys are looking at for 2020. What are some of the trends that you're picking up and you're curious to explore over the coming year? So welcome to 2020, everybody. We're going to have an exciting season of episodes and information, and I can't wait to engage with more of you. So if it's nighttime, go to sleep. It's an emerging trend. If you want to talk more about this, head on over to our Facebook community, the Anthropology Collective. That's where we hang out as a community. That was trend number 3. And in the meantime, I'm off to my Peloton for my daily workout, trend number 4 in 2020. Have an amazing week, everyone, and we'll see you here again next week.